Most middle-class Arabs and Muslims, I am convinced, were not celebrating the death of 3,000 innocent Americans on 9/11. I know my Arab and Muslim friends were not. But many Arabs and Muslims were celebrating the idea of putting a fist in America's face, and they were quietly applauding the men who did it. They were happy to see someone humiliating the people and the country that they felt was humiliating them and supporting what they saw as injustice in their world, whether it is America's backing of Arab kings and dictators who export oil to it, or America's backing of Israel, whether it does the right things or the wrong things. Germany was humiliated after World War I, but it had the modern economic foundations to produce a state response to that humiliation, in the form of the Third Reich. The Arab world, by contrast, could not produce a state response to its humiliation. Instead, it has rattled the world stage in the last 50 years with two larger-than-life figures, rather than states, noted political theorist Yaron Ezrahi. One was the Saudi oil minister Ahmed Zaki Yamani, and the other was Osama bin Laden. What makes Yamanism and bin Ladenism so unfortunate as strategies for Arab influence in the world is that they ignore the examples within Arab culture and civilization, when it was at its height, of discipline, hard work, knowledge, achievement, scientific inquiry, and pluralism. The Arab Muslim peoples have an incredibly rich cultural tradition and civilization, with long periods of success and innovation to draw on for inspiration and example for their young people. They have all the resources necessary for modernization in their own cultural terms, if they want to summon them. Unfortunately, there is huge resistance to such modernization from the authoritarian and religiously obscurantist forces within the Arab-Muslim world. That is why this part of the world will be liberated and feel truly empowered only if it goes through its own war of ideas, and the moderates there win. The best thing outsiders can do for the Arab-Muslim world today is try to collaborate with its progressive forces in every way possible, from trying to solve the Arab-Israeli conflict to stabilizing Iraq to signing free trade agreements with as many Arab countries as possible so as to foster a similar war of ideas within their civilization. There is no other way. Otherwise, this part of the world has the potential to be a huge unflattening force. We have to wish the good people there well, but the battle will be won for them to fight and to win. No one can do it for them.
Globalization of the local. The Cultural Revolution is about to begin. My 1999 book, The Lexus and the Olive Tree, attempted to describe the forces that were globalizing the world at the end of the 20th century and their effects on economics, politics, geopolitics, environment, and culture. After the first edition of The World is Flat first came out, several readers complained to me that I had not followed up on the cultural part of my argument in The Lexus and the Olive Tree. I had made no mention of how this new, flattening era of globalization at the dawn of the 21st century was affecting culture around the world. I acknowledged this and explained that it was simply a matter of not having had enough time to think through that issue. This updated edition of the book has given me a chance to do just that, and I'm glad it has, because the flattening of the world is having surprising, important and paradoxical effects on culture around the world. As the flattening phase of globalization began to gain momentum following the fall of the Berlin Wall, there was a considerable and justifiable worry around the world that globalization means Americanization. This worry was not unreasonable, because it was primarily American-based manufacturers and service providers, American brands and American movie makers, American singers and American entertainers, American clothing designers, and American fast food chains who were in the best position to take advantage of the falling of the walls and the flattening of the world. They were the first out of the gates, and it seemed inevitable and unstoppable that they would take advantage of the flat world to homogenize culture. If you were from another culture, no matter how robust and vibrant your distinctive dress, language, food, or music, you had to worry that you could be easily steamrolled. In the constant struggle between the homogenizing and particularizing forces of globalization, it seemed like the homogenizing, Americanizing forces were destined to triumph. Globalization would have an American face, an American look, and an American taste. This naturally triggered a backlash against globalization as a form of American cultural imperialism. Many people around the world argued that unless we took serious steps to strengthen cultures and protect the environment, the juggernaut of globalization as Americanization could, in just a few decades, wipe out the cultural, ecological, and zoological diversity that took millions of years of human, plant, and animal evolution to produce. There is reason to hope that the flattening of the world will not necessarily pave the way for a red, white, and blue cultural homogenization. Indeed, what is becoming clear is that the flat world platform, while it has the potential to homogenize cultures, also has, I would argue, an even more powerful potential to nourish diversity to a degree that the world has never seen before. Why? Primarily because of uploading. Uploading makes possible the globalization of the local. The fact that so many people worldwide now have the tools to create and upload their own content, their own news reports, their own opinions, their own music, their own videos, their own photos, their own software, their own browsers, their own encyclopedias, their own dictionaries. This is a very powerful force for the preservation and enhancement of cultural autonomy and particularity. The Flat World platform enables you to take your own local culture, art, songs, literature, painting, film, and upload it to the world. It means you aren't stuck downloading Mickey Mouse and McDonald's. No, no, no. You can now write your own song, create a podcast version in any language you like, and share it with the world on some podcast site. And if it is popular, it will spread. You can now make your own home video with a cheap webcam and Microsoft Movie Maker that comes bundled with your software and upload that as well. The most popular food in the world is not the Big Mac, it's pizza. And what is pizza? It is just a piece of flat dough that every culture puts its own distinctive foods and flavors on. So Japan has sushi pizza, and Bangkok has Thai pizza, and Lebanon has meze pizza,